Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1 p.m. and today is November 20th. There was a lot of activity today on the trade war front, and certainly coming in off out of left field is the accusation that China has been torturing some employees of the UK embassy in China. That's obviously something that is going to have to be brought up by the UK government. They have to defend their people. But of course, China is not going to take that particularly well. Well, one of the problems, of course, for the UK in doing so is that the city of London has been aggressively courting China for investments in the city. It wanted to at one stage create a stock connect between the London Stock Exchange and China, and also London wanted to become a renminbi trading hub. That may eventually come to transpire, but it's unlikely it's going to happen in the short term with geopolitical tensions rising. Within the same 24 hours, we've had the US Senate unanimously approve the bill to, I think probably the best way to think about it would be to lean on the Chinese administration at least once a year. And that's exactly what does appear to be underway. Now, of course, the big question is whether that is going to affect the trade war. And does it affect the likelihood of the deal, in fact, getting done? One of the things that China is uniquely sensitive to is any kind of interference in its domestic politics. And this is very clearly part of that, because it clearly thinks of Hong Kong as part of its territory. And I don't think there's anybody really arguing about that point either. But it really does come down to the fact that there is a much more, I think, assertive attitude being adopted by a number of countries towards China and their record of human rights abuses, intellectual property theft, cheating on agreements, and a host of other problems that have been raised. Of course, none of this seemed to have been a problem for the last 20 years. Why has it become a problem today? Well, I think we know what the answer to that is. It's Xi Jinping. He has become much more expansionist. He has attempted to try and impose China's will on the rest of the world, and now we're seeing the pushback. Well, when we look at asset prices, we did not have a very big move in here today. So a lot of to and fro in terms of the news and the commentary. But the pound, for example, erased an intraday decline against the dollar. When we look at that on a weekly basis, well, we can see clearly that it has pushed back above the trend mean. It hasn't quite yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs, but it is certainly consolidating here above the trend mean. When we then think about that versus the euro, it's right at the upper side of the range. One portion of the John Arthur's story that I'm publishing in here today was to highlight the dearth of enthusiasm for UK, European, and Japanese assets. But when we look at long-term trends, well, the FTSE, for example, has been consolidating mostly above the 7,000 level, with a, I guess, 2 months where it tested that level for the last 3 years. This looks like a first step above the base. When we look at the long-term chart for the Europe Stocks 600, well, it's been ranging below 400 for 20 years, and it does look to be really considerably better supported on this particular occasion than it was back in 2015, the last time it tried to push above this level. When we look at individual markets within the European Union, well, the Dutch market is at the upper side of its range. The CAC 40 in France is extending its advance, although it was in negative territory today. Well, we can see that even among the best performing indices, there is a short-term overbought condition. That's equally true of the S&P 500. There's a short-term overbought condition. We've had consecutive weeks on the upside. I don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some pause and consolidation. I think a lot of people will be looking for some evidence of support around the 3,000 level or somewhere around that level in order to jump back on board in terms of thinking that this breakout can in fact be sustained and that we are in fact back in a demand-dominated environment. One of the issues you get with any breakout is that there are people who miss the breakout and then they start to think, well, it's gone up too much already, I can't possibly buy now, and they are looking to buy the dip. I suspect that is true of a substantial number of investors in here this year. I think when we look at the Nikkei, it's a very similar situation to what we've seen in the UK and in Europe. 20,000 has been an area of resistance for the Nikkei since the early 1990s, so we're talking about a 25-year range, and it is now representing support. And this chart hasn't been updated in quite some time, so let's do that because the price right now is at the upper side of this range. It's testing the upper side of the almost 2-year range, but as long as it is finding support in the region of the trend mean, this is a new bull market. And I think that is still a not a particular popular conclusion, but it is the only conclusion we can draw if we just look at the chart action. And the Taiwanese market has also broken up and above the 10,000 level, and 10,000 had been an area of resistance since at least 1997, and it is very rapidly approaching the peak from 1989. So there is the real potential that we're going to see the Taiwanese market move on to new all-time highs in the not so distant future. Well, against a background where people are still worried about growth and worried about the trade war, worried about geopolitical tensions, and the potential for a slowing environment, well, we're definitely seeing an uptick in demand for the shares of and the markets of probably the best way to say it is we're seeing an uptick in demand for wallflowers, the kinds of assets that haven't been doing much of anything for the last decade that are now starting to break out. They do have the potential to outperform the USA just because of the base effect. They haven't gone up as much. It's easier for something to go from 1 to 2 than it is from 1,000 to 2,000. Nevertheless, we continue to see that the semiconductors index is still really very firm, although it was again in negative territory today. There is the potential that we are now entering a period of consolidation, and that would be healthy as long as all we see is a relatively modest consolidation similar to what we saw in August or in September. Then I think that would be rather welcome from the perspective of the consistency of the medium-term trend. We're also seeing some rather interesting action coming through in Australia. The ASX was down about 1% in here today, but what I thought was particularly interesting is the healthcare sector, which has been accelerating on the upside, and it has been led higher by CSL. But when we look at some of the smaller constituents, which have been leading on the upside, they've already begun to pull back. There has certainly been an acceleration over the balance of this year, but particularly over the course of the last 7 or 8 weeks. The best possible outcome is that we see some consolidation, which would at least partially unwind this overbought condition. We saw a similar condition and a relatively similar sized overextension in the third quarter of last year, and that resulted in a really quite abrupt pullback. Well, the price has subsequently greatly exceeded the peak value from last year, but it is equally at risk now for at least some consolidation. The Australian dollar, I think, is also, it's rather interesting that if we look at it on a just a daily basis, there has been a sequence of higher reaction lows since the beginning of October. It has paused in the region of the trend mean. It was in negative territory in here today. I think a lot of people are going to be looking at that 67 cent level and thinking, is it going to hold? When we then think about the 10-year yield, and again look at that on a daily basis, we're presented with a very similar chart pattern. So what investors are obviously thinking of is that the Australian economy is presented with some challenges. They're cutting interest rates, they're engaged in fiscal stimulus, they're bringing forward some additional infrastructure spending from planned periods a couple of years out to front load that spending now. They've tried to make lending provisions for the mortgage market a little bit easier. The problem that Australia faces more than any other factor is the high leverage ratio of consumers relative to GDP. There's very long, or I think a long tail from that large debt mountain that consumers have built up, and not least because of their exposure to the property market. Well, the bond market is, I think, pricing in that we are going to see a continued downtrend. And certainly we're going to have to see the sequence of lower rally highs broken in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And so far, there's not a great deal of evidence to support that. So there are certainly going to be sectors that do better as a result of the monetary accommodation, fiscal accommodation that Australia is providing. It would be tempting to think that the resources sector is going to be part of that. I think a lot of the outlook for commodities is going to be very much dictated by what happens in China. And the Chinese economy is slowing down, and the government there has been somewhat reticent to engage in additional stimulus. Oil prices were in positive territory in here today, and the continuous commodity index is back in the region of 400 and stabilized. It's really quite important to support any kind of bullish argument for commodities that 400 point level holds. And so far it has done that, but it really does need an upper dynamic to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment and that a previous area of resistance is turning into an area of support. Having pulled back rather sharply yesterday, oil prices have countermanded that move on a quicker pace of running down inventories in the US. The big question is where we're going to see whether we're going to see the price push back above that trend mean and subsequently hold it. I was driving my daughter to fencing yesterday, and I was looking at the filling station that's closest to my home, and for premium gasoline, they're currently charging $5.39 a gallon, and that's the highest I've seen it since we've been here. Well, the oil price is not as important to wealthy or middle class consumers as it used to be, but for poorer people, it is a meaningful problem because they're the people that are most likely to have to drive to work and drive long distances or commute long distances, and then it really does eat into consumption. When we then think about some of the retailers, well, Target has done spectacularly well over the course of the last while, and it was up again in positive territory in a very dynamic manner in here today, so they're certainly doing something right. Then Walmart has have been doing some rather interesting things on the technology front, where they are giving out they're giving out toy catalogs in their stores with QR codes so that people can buy the goods with their phone once they've perused the catalog without having to go back to the store. And that has been one of the factors that has contributed to the share doing better. But the other side of the equation is that the purely online offerings are not doing as well. Etsy, for example, remains in a downtrend. So we're getting a differentiation here, which is the complete opposite of what we had previously. That doesn't mean that all brick-and-mortar stores are doing better. Macy's, following a data breach, has pulled right back down to test its lows over the last year, and it was in negative territory by the close again in here today. That does suggest that the retail war is still very much a factor. When we then think about some of the brands that had been pulling back very violently over the course of the last few years, well, H&M, for example, has been pulling back towards the mean for the last 3 weeks. It had previously been one of the better performers this year. Now the question is whether that region of the trend mean in the upper side of the base formation is going to offer support. So when we look at the performance of the technology sector, the return to performance of classic cyclicals like the biotechnology sector and the semiconductor sector, then the question that people will be asking is, what about the rest of the economy? And the trajectory of monetary policy is probably going to be more important than anything else. Monetary policy beats most other factors most of the time, and the Federal Reserve has added in $300 billion in 2 months. Well, considering that the ECB's quantitative easing program is about 20 billion euros a month, 150 billion a month by the Federal Reserve is a very significant stimulus, regardless of what they want to call it. Adding that quantity of cash to the balance sheet is stimulative. That's one of the reasons, I think, why stock markets have not reacted more violently to the uptick in tensions between the USA and China and the UK and China. It's because we are continuing to see monetary and fiscal stimulus supporting this market. Of course, eventually the debts that are being accrued are going to have to get paid back. That's one of the primary reasons why gold continues to be steady. Certainly, there's been a process of mean reversion going on over the last 3 months, but it really does look like just a mean reversion. It doesn't look like much more than that. And when we look at the longer term chart, it continues to look like just a first step above the base formation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.